I do not have the back up there, so I have to keep turning around. But we've been in our study of comparative religion, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what is meekness? Somebody tell me, what is meekness? It is humility. The antithesis of meekness is weakness. A lot of people think meekness is weakness. It's not weakness. It's power under control. And humility is really a good, another good way of a good synonym for that. Meekness is, hey, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Grace, come here. Sorry, guys. Hold fast the faithful word as you have been taught.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, sorry about that. So, we're a small group. This is like the old days when we were in this Christian school. So meekness and fear. And so really understanding that just because we have the right answer, you can use knowledge, right? But it's, we want to use knowledge aright, right? We want to use it in the right way. And so as we go through this course, we're about 50% through. And I know you guys and your spirit's sweet, but sometimes as we get knowledge, we can kind of beat up on people because we know the answers, or they don't know the answers, or they're trying to manipulate us with false religious systems, as the JWs do. You just really, the way we handle the knowledge is as important as what you say and what you know. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and it's a really one, a good one to guide us. It says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." Charity builds up. And then he goes, "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." And that's why the greatest evangelistic tool that you'll ever have is love. And so it's important as we do give an answer, or the reason of, and we should be given answers, right? What people really need to see is the love of Christ in us as we answer these questions and we address them on error and false things that really damn their soul to hell. And if we care about them, we're not going to do more damage to condemn them to hell. We're going to help them understand that there is a way, truth, and life, and it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone and His Word. Now, I know you guys know that, and you're the Amen Choir, but I say that because I think it's important. I was just meditating on that passage. Why do we need meekness and fear? Because once you know the answers, once you know the truth, you really got to use it in a way that is going to be conducive to people coming to Christ. And so you should not back up one bit on the truth. You shouldn't compromise truth, but we should definitely represent the Lord well. He died on the cross. He loves them. And why there needs to be fear is there's fear of God. You don't have to fear a Jehovah's Witness. You don't have to fear a Mormon. You don't have to fear a Hindu. You don't have to fear false religion, a Muslim, because you have the truth. When you fear God, that's all you need. You say, well, I might not have all the right answers. You have Jesus. You've got the right answer. If you're born again, you've got the right answer. And as simple as the gospel is, you will be surprised how profound it is when laid against any other false religious system. It is amazing. And the more people you're around, and the more you get to experience this, and in this country, by the way, you're going to have more and more opportunity to experience. It's important to know where you stand, and because there's going to be all kinds of and perpetual people, opposition, and people who know their book, right? They know your book. And what a reproach it is when we don't know our Bible as well as those that are misled. And so it's important that we really do take our discipleship processes seriously, and that we're doing the due diligence to study the Word of God. It's a different day than it was 50 years ago, than it was 60 years ago, than it was 25 years ago when I got saved. It's a new day, and information is much more readily available. People are not any smarter. As a matter of fact, sometimes they're dumber, but they're loaded with more information, and they aren't guided with meekness and fear. And so it's our job to really understand how to use the sword and penetrate through that flood of false information and get to the heart of the matter. And so what's really cool tonight is you all know Shane, but you may not know a lot about his background, he was brought up, and he'll share this with you, in a Jehovah's Witness family, a very prominent Jehovah's Witness family in Atlanta area. And he would be one of the people at one time in his life that would just scoff at a church like ours and people who claim the Bible and would presume that we're all off our rockers and we're stupid, and to put it mildly. And I don't know if you guys had a redemption plan for us folks, or you just condemned us. You'll have to answer that yourself. But amazingly, the Holy Spirit of God did a work on him, and Shane can speak for himself, but I thought it'd be really good as we're going through this just to let it have a testimony come up. Someone, I've talked a lot about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Muslims and different things. I'm going to give Shane some time just to share his testimony. How many of you heard Shane's testimony already concerning this? Okay, just a few of you. So most of you haven't, so that's good. And so a small handful. So Shane, you get fresh troops here. And I'm glad that we could get you in this week.
Well, I apologize, but I'm going to sit down. My knee is killing me.
Can you see him? Okay?
Can you see me? I'm not much to look at anyway. Yes, sir, I can. Made it. Now, I don't know if I'll get back down, but I'll be all right. One thing Brian didn't do, if he was supposed to give a disclaimer of anything I said that would hurt anybody's feelings or be upsetting to them. Like Brian said, I was not prepared tonight to give my testimony. Thanks, buddy. but I was raised as Jehovah's Witness. My whole family, my grandparents, my mother, my father was an elder all my childhood. Both of my brothers are elders in the kingdom hall. My sister's married to an elder. My grandmother thought she was of the 144,000, which are the only ones they believe are going to heaven. I don't know how she did that, because she's not a male virgin, and she had my mama, but I don't know how all that works, but anyway, she believed that. Jehovah's Witnesses were started by Charles Taz Russell in the 1870s. He was born in 1837, 38, something like that. You want to look it up? Okay, I can't remember his birth date. But anyway, I can't remember my own birth date half the time. But anyway, in the 1870s, The Pennsylvania Bible students got started, and Charles Taz Russell was actually a preacher of that time. He was pretty well known. He started the Bible students. They weren't known anything about Jehovah's Witnesses back then. They were just Bible students, Pennsylvania Bible students, and. They didn't actually adopt the name of Jehovah's Witnesses to 1931 is when they became known as Jehovah's Witnesses. There was a few breakups or schisms, whatever you want to call it. In 1909 was the first schism, and there was a break off of the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower students. Then in 1916, there was a second break off, and they were the missionary movement, layman's home missionary movement, and the associated Bible students. And then right after that, there was the free Bible students. And then there became Jehovah's Witnesses right after that. That was in 1909, 1916, 1928, and 1931. They actually believe that Jesus Christ came back in 1914. We've just had an extended time of, I just lost the word I'm trying to think of, 7 years of tribulation. It's just, man, it's been stretched out, you know. Maybe they're looking at Daniel, you know. 70, I don't know how they figure that out. But that's one of the things about Jehovah's Witnesses, guys, that is really kind of confusing. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, 8th chapter, which is it, Brian?
You're talking about the
clock. Uh-huh. Deuteronomy 18. 18, okay. It talks about a false prophet. And Jehovah's Witnesses have named so many dates in their history. There was 1914, 1918, 1931, 1943, and the latest was 1975, when Christ was supposed to come back. And they've been wrong each time. We'll look a little bit more in just a minute. I brought their Bible with me tonight. This is not the one that you'll see them carrying at the door. This is actually a reference study Bible. I like to have it because I like to use it for reference when I'm talking to them. But in Deuteronomy there, it talks about stoning a false prophet. And I believe that's the second time that he is told of a falsehood or doesn't come through in a prophecy that he's supposed to be stoned. And they've came through so many times with misstatements. And it all comes down to changing what they say. In the New World Translation, the one I showed you here a minute ago, there are so many different changes in this book that it's hard, actually, and I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but it's actually hard for me to call it a Bible because there are so many changes in this book that it's hard to call it a Bible. Some of the main things that have been changed, are 247 times the name Jehovah is placed instead of God, instead of the Almighty, etc. In our King James Version, you find the name Jehovah a couple times too. Exodus 6:3, Psalm 83:18. If somebody wants to look one of those up, I don't have my King James Version up here, so I won't read you what it has in here. I will in a couple of minutes, though. That is, at Deuteronomy, are you at Deuteronomy? 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2 talks about the same thing as Revelation. I'm sorry, guys. 20. I'm doing this off the top of my head. 22. Is it Revelation 22 where it says, "Do not take away or change"? The last verse.
Yep.
And then Deuteronomy 4:2. I believe it is. Can you read that, Brian, since you got a mic on?
Am I on? There we go.
Yep.
Ye shall not add unto the word that I, which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
Okay, so that's God's own word warning us about changing His word. You know, I mean it's a very dangerous thing to do. They believe that God or the Almighty is just a title. That he has to have a personal name, Jehovah, attached to it, or it's not personal enough, I guess you would say. One of the things we used to say when I was a Jehovah's Witness was, well, there are many gods and many lords, so you need to name God to know who He is. One of the big things that Jehovah's Witnesses and you and I don't have in common is our belief in who Jesus Christ is. If you turn in your Bibles to John 1:1, most of you know this by heart. But I'm going to read it from the New World Translation, and you read it in your Bible, and you'll see the difference. In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, little g. The King James Version, or if you're using a New King James, most of you, I think, are using a King James Version, you see that's a large G. It does not say a God, it says was God. That's a big difference. And if I'm trying to convince you, I'm not saying you guys, but if I'm trying to convince somebody that I'm talking to that knows nothing about their Bible, and I show them in the Bible where He was just a God, the Word was, that's pretty compelling. Go to John 1:18. Who'd like to read that? I don't want to make Brian do it all. Okay. Okay. We'll do 14 first. That's cool. I'll read it to you, and then who's got the mic? We'll read John 1:14. So the Word became flesh and resided among us, and we had a view of His glory, a glory such as belongs to an only begotten Son from the Father, and He was full of undeserved kindness and truth. Everything there except, so the Word is capital, everything else is in small caps. So it's not showing deity. It's just showing relationship. Does that make sense the way I said that? Okay. No? Okay. Would you...
You want me to read 14?
14 then, please.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
You want me to read 18 too?
You can, and then I'll read 18. Go ahead.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him.
Okay, the New World Translation says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, little g, who is in the bosom position with the Father, is the one that has explained Him. We can go on and on and on. John 10:33 is another good example. But my point is, they've changed basic things. Keywords to fit in with what they believe, or what they're trying to, what they're trying to propagate their religion, to teach their religion. Who do they actually believe that Jesus is? Do they believe that He came to this earth and died for our sins, as a lamb to slaughter, so that our sins are forgiven? Yes, they do. But they don't believe he was a God-man that came to earth and died. He was God's, a creation of the Almighty. Way before the earth was made, Jesus was the first being made by Jehovah God. And everything after that was made through him. That's what they'll teach you. You get how close that is to, I mean, it's really close. It's just, but it's not, you know. It's so deceptive, but it's not, I mean, it's very convincing, and it gets very confusing, especially if you don't know how to rightly divine the Word of God. That's one of the problems with Jehovah's Witnesses is most of them do not know the history of the witnesses. They don't know that they have made these claims to dates, prophecy being fulfilled at certain times, because once that date goes by, the head organization changes it just a little bit. We didn't really say, we said that was in the timeline. We didn't actually say that was going to be the time. But there was enough in 1940s that almost every Jehovah's Witness in the United States and abroad sold their home, their farms, their cars, everything, because, well, we never said that was when it was going to end. But they said it convincingly enough that all these people were buying into it and getting rid of everything. I don't know why they were selling it, because you can't take it with you, but, you know, whatever. I guess you got to get a crown somehow and some jewels in it, huh? That's bad. I shouldn't say that. But anyway, that's there is so much that they have misled. Today, if you go into Brooklyn, New York, across the bridge, the biggest building you will see says Watchtower or Bible and Tract Society. It is the old Squibb buildings. Squibb was a pharmaceutical building, and it was they bought them in 1970s, I believe. I'm right on that date. They have I've toured that building. They have one of the biggest presses I have ever seen. I mean, rolls of paper that will go up to that first trim there almost, and they're huge. Those go on and just, I mean, it's like what you see in movies in the paper, where the paper, they're running paper, newspaper off, you know. And they produce the Watchtower, the Awake, every Bible, every book, everything that they do in English, and I forget how many other languages, but they have also publishing plants in other countries. Germany is one of the big ones. I'm sorry, guys, it's been a long time, but Germany I know is one of them. But they produce a lot of material there. In that building is the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses. If you'll turn to Matthew 24, if somebody would read chapter 24, verse 45, I think it's 45 to 47. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meals and meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Okay. The governing body claims for Jehovah's Witnesses, claims to be the faithful and discreet slave. They take that from Matthew, Mark, Luke, all have that account of the faithful slave. They have actual direction from Jesus Christ, and everything that comes down through the Watchtower, through other books, publications, through, if you go to Kingdom Hall on Sunday, across the street over here, you will hear the same message if you go to London, England for their service on Sunday morning, to Mozambique, to Africa, wherever. You'll hear the same message. It's an outline, and the person speaking will go off that outline to deliver a message. If you go on Tuesday nights to home Bible studies, you're studying the same book as they are in Timbuktu. And you are in the same parameters of that study, page 15, paragraph 7 to 20, paragraph 8. So you're studying the same, you're looking at the same material. On Thursday night, for the Theocratic Ministry School and Service Meeting, which is 2 hours, you are hearing the same thing. You're hearing whatever in each Kingdom Hall is being presented, but it's all the same material. Now, the Beatles used to sing a song about mind control. I believe it fits in pretty good there. If everybody is on the same page doing the same thing and hearing the same thing, saying the same thing, that's pretty good mind control, isn't it? And if you question what comes out, if something comes out in the Watchtower, the Awake is more a current events, social, whatever's going on in the world, commentary, etc. But the Watchtower is directed toward biblical issues, yeah. Biblical study. And on Sunday you hear a sermon, and then there's an hour of studying that week's lesson in the Watchtower. And you'll get, say, the first 2 weeks is in one Watchtower, and another Watchtower will be the last 2 weeks. So everything is really controlled. And if there's something in there that a statement is made, and you don't agree with that or you question that, you're an apostate, and you will be labeled as one. If you ask too many times, you might ask once and get away with it, but if you start asking too many times, you're just, because God, or excuse me, Jesus gave them the answer, so what are you to ask a question about it? Personally, God, Jesus gave me my Bible, and he tells me to question what it said, to prove all things. I don't know if he tells you to do that. He does, but where is it, Brian?
First Thessalonians.
Thank you. First Thessalonians 5. Okay, you're looking up at it up. It's
Yeah. Oh, that don't look like my Bible.
Don't read the same Bible.
Let me find it in the Bible first.
In the Bible,
I find it in the error.
Yeah, not the non-Bible.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian. 522?
It's 21.
21?
Make sure, it just says, make sure of all things, hold fast to what is fine. So it does say to make sure of all things, which means consult the watchtower.
Right, yeah, that's, yeah. In the watchtower, in the Bible study...
521, 1 Thessalonians 521.
You...
that I'm reading? It's the New World Translation. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
There are scriptures, guys, that to this day I cannot get out of my head because I've got them so ingrained from the New World Translation. 1 Timothy 3:16 is one of them. I cannot get that into the King James. Go ahead. Yes, it does. And it's the same order of books. It's, I mean, in all appearance, it's not like the Catholic Douay. Excuse me if anybody's Catholic, but it's not like the Catholic Douay. It's got a couple different books in it. It's not like the Book of Mormon. It's got some different books in it. It is laid out just like our Bible. Another very deceptive. There are over 30 verses in the New World Translation, Jehovah's Witness Bible, that are completely left out. I can get you a list of those if somebody wants. There, I don't know how many thousands of changes. I really don't. That there are in from just an example of when it's referring to Christ as God. When it uses a little g instead of a big G, or a little W instead of a big W. I mean, those are very deceptive little things. If you're just reading really quickly, you might just read right over it and not even notice. But most of us, when we're reading our King James Version, I take a little bit of time in reading that. A lot of you here I know pretty well. And you take your time reading, because if you go over it too fast, you miss those little nuggets, those little things that the Holy Spirit is taking. If you're taking your time, He'll take His time to share with you. I mean, that's just the way it is.
That's good.
One of the other things, and then I'll quit. I'll be done, and I'll try to answer any questions. One of the other big things. Who can tell me who the Bible's written to?
I can tell you.
I know you can tell me. anybody? There's three major groups that the Bible's written to. Go ahead.
She's got it.
I didn't hear her. I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
Repeat it so everybody can hear it.
The Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. And actually, to us Gentiles, very little of the Bible is written to. It is majorly to the Jews and then the church. And then us Gentiles get thrown in there a little bit, you know. Well, that's something that Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand. Or maybe they do and they just choose not to accept. They have taken the promises to the Jews and applied them to themselves. For example, I mentioned it earlier, my grandmother thinking she was of the 144,000, you know. She's not a Jew, she can't be 144,000. But when when God took his blessings away from the Jewish people, which he's done how many times in their history, they kind of took the Christian thing over to themselves and said, okay, it's our blessing now. That's kind of crudely put, but it's basically what they did. The dispensations are, there's so many things that they get mixed up and applied wrongly that, but it's very close. It's very close, and it's very deceptive. And the one thing we know, and I know this goes out on, if any of you listening or Jehovah's Witnesses, don't get mad at me and bomb my house, but the devil is deceptive. He didn't do but change one little word.
Amen.
When he was talking to Eve. And that threw everything off. Of course, her answer didn't help back, but I'm saying that was, you know, it was so close. And Jehovah's Witnesses, in a lot of ways, are so very close. But they take a lot of things that are applied to the Jews and apply it to themselves, and don't look at the redeeming sacrifice of Christ as a fulfillment of those of that prophecy. For example, they won't eat blood. They won't eat, they won't have blood transfusion, because God commanded Moses or Noah to spill the blood on the ground to give it back to him. You know, Brian and I have had long discussions on that type of thing. I ain't gonna eat no blood sausages, I don't care. One way or the other, you know, and they just ain't for me. But I like oysters though, you know. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, nice. It's just, you know, blood pudding, I'm sorry, ain't gonna happen, you know. But that's my, I ain't gonna eat Brussels sprouts either, but that's just my choice of food, you know. But they will literally, they will die before they take a blood transfusion, because that, if you notice when you go into the hospital, they ask you, one of the first things they, a questionnaire they ask you, do you have any objection to blood transfusion, you know? And it's like, nope, not me, dude, keep me alive. Anyway, is there any questions that I can answer for anybody? I probably left a lot of questions out there. I don't know if I can answer them, but I'll try. Go ahead.
Yeah, does someone want to run the mic? I'll run the mic. Okay, do you want to run the mic?
Yeah.
Her leg's hurting her.
Okay.
Her leg's hurting her.
That's right.
Okay, but I've got the mic, so I can ask the question.
No, you can
right?
ask the question.
Yes, you can ask the question.
Okay. How would be the best way, the most effective way, to witness to a Jehovah's Witness? I mean, okay. They come to my door, and, you know, they want to give me all their literature and stuff. How do I, in love, give them Jesus Christ?
Okay. I love talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. When they come to my door, I love talking to Seventh-day Adventists. I like to talk to other Baptists that come to my door when they come to but I have fun anyway. I enjoy it. But Sharon, I think the one of the easiest ways is get to them to accept your Bible as God's Word. Because your Bible is different from their Bible. And if you can get them to admit that, yes, the King James Version is the Holy Bible, then you don't have to get into all the futterall that, huh? Right, about what text is Septuagint or whatever. I can't think of all of them. But so that is one way. One thing that will, and it took me a long, long time. And Brian's going to be talking about this if I shut up in here in a little bit, about the Trinity. That was the hardest thing in the world for me to accept. And all of a sudden, it was only about 3 years ago, I think, wasn't it about 3 years ago? Because I was all excited about it. I read John 8.
Probably a little longer, but huh? Yeah. It's probably a little longer, but.
Yeah, 8:58, isn't it? I have to look. But anyway, where it says, before Abraham was, I am. And that, it had just like, God just, the Holy Spirit just slapped me upside the head and said, you've read this 100 times, boy, when are you going to get it, you know? Because in that burning bush, when Moses said, who do I tell Pharaoh you are? Whose name do I come in? Tell him I am. And here's Jesus saying, I am, you know. And it was just, man, I went for years. I'd argue with Brian. Brian and I have had some long, healthy discussions about who God is. And you know, I knew that, but man, it wasn't making sense to me. I mean, I knew Christ was God, but man, let's prove this, you know. We've had a lot of discussions on a lot of matters. But I think, Sharon, honestly, you've got to get them to understand. I mean, you can point out that they've made a lot of prophecies that, but, you know, to insult somebody and call them a false prophet is probably not a winning way to get on their good side, you know. But get them to accept your Bible, the King James Version, as a written word of God, and then talk about who God is and who Christ is. I mean, it's so, if you get out of their Bible, in our Bible, it is so abundantly clear who Jesus Christ is. It's so abundantly clear who Jehovah is. It's so, I mean, you know, they're one and the same. They're God. And that's the way, I mean, if they can get to that point, that's the biggest thing. My mother, my father are both resting in hell today. They could never accept who Jesus Christ was. And that's sad, you know. They were good people, but the Bible doesn't teach us that good people go to heaven. It's people that accept the Lord Jesus Christ as for who he is and what he did is who goes to heaven. And, you know,
that's tough.
The way it is. What, you had a question too, Bernie?
Three.
Huh? You got three. Oh my gosh, I can only do one, maybe.
I know a lot about your testimony because you and I have had a lot of discussions.
Yeah.
But as I'm sitting here listening, you know, and when you had to turn your life over because of the, and I don't want to get into specifics because that's up to you, but when you had to turn your life over and you finally turn it over to accept the Lord, how did you make that from the, what you're bringing up from your Jehovah Witness? To, you know, because you were bred Jehovah and forgiveness and that there.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here, when I can see confusion because I'm confused. How did you make that transition, if you understand what I'm saying?
What, Brian, I'm sorry, but I know I'm taking a lot longer than I'm supposed to, but anyway. That's okay. You've taken longer than you're supposed to through a lot of time. I love you, bro. Anyway, very quickly, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. I left because that God was a very unmerciful, the one they teach is a very unmerciful, not a really loving God. I went... into the occult. Anything against God was cool with me. I went into the occult and started using dope really heavily. For 38 years, I used dope. I was a needle junkie. If it fit into a needle, I did it. Mostly meth, cocaine, but I did heroin, etc. If I could have got pot into the needle, I would have done that too. I hit a very low spot. A lady bugged me to death by going to church with her. She's one of our older saints here. You probably don't know her because she doesn't make it very often.
That's in that corner, Ruth Reeves.
Huh?
She sits in that corner. Her name's Ruth Reeves.
Yeah, she sits in that corner when she comes in. Ruth Reeves. I worked with her, and she kept after me to come to church. And finally, just to shut her up, I came. I came three times, and I was like, nope, this ain't changing my life. But I was impressed with Heartland because people could turn in their Bible when Brian is like, he's a skipster. You know, he's skipping all over the place going. And people were following him, and I was like, wow, I've never seen this anywhere but Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. But what he was saying was, like, totally different. But anyway, I came about three times, and I was like, no, man, I ain't giving up dope for this. You know, I got to go. But I kept running into Brian everywhere I went. I told a story. Some of you heard this. I said, I was driving down the highway, and there was a port-a-john sitting out in the middle of the field, and I pulled over to go use it, and here come Brian walking out. You know? It was almost that bad, guys. Anyway, I hit a really low spot. I'm answering your question. No, but I was trying to catch everybody up so they knew where it came from. I hit a really low spot in my life, and every time I ran into Brian, he was always like, how you doing, Shane? And I'm like, hey, I'm good, dude. High as hell, but I'm good. And I wouldn't tell him that, but it was true.
It's true.
And so, excuse my language. But anyway, I was really down at a low, low spot in my life. And I called Brian, and I said, Brian, I got to change. I got to do something different. I was actually planning on killing somebody over $1,800 because they had ripped me off. I had already bought the chicken wire and the blocks to do the property I was taking them down to. And nobody was going to disrespect me even for $1,800. And but for some reason that bothered me. And I'm going to say this once and I will not repeat it. It had never bothered me in the past, but it was bothering me now. And that's all I'm going to say about that, okay? It bothered me that I was going to do that over $1,800. And I called Brian and I said, Brian, I got to make some changes. And he said, if you really want to make some changes, come in and talk to me. And I did. And it was 3 days later at a conference we had at the old school. That I gave my life to Christ. And he took that desire for dope away from one day to the next day, and I didn't need it no more. I've never needed it. It's been almost April 6th will be 12 years. Have I led a angelic life since then? Brothers and sisters, there's been some bumpy roads, you know. Paul says, what I want to do, I don't, and what I don't want to do, I do. Something to that effect. That's probably out of New World Translation, but anyway. he's saying, you know, it's hard to do that. It's hard to do what's right. We can do. I said it's hard. I'm not saying it's impossible. We can do it. But there's only one way we can do that. And that way is to spend time in prayer, spend time in the Bible, not junk books, but in the Bible. And building a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship, one where we know what he's thinking, he knows what we're thinking, and they kind of mesh. Does that make sense? We have that's the kind of relationship that we have to have. And if we do that, we'll not walk in the flesh, but we'll walk in the Spirit, because we have that relationship with the Lord. I didn't get up here to preach to y'all about relationship, but anyway, did that answer your question? It was hard for me to accept. There were so many differences, but I could also see, I got some time. I went to a house in Kansas City that was, it was a terrible program. It really was. But the Lord knew what I needed at that time.
Anthony was there.
Huh?
Don't cover up your mic. Anthony was there. God had put Anthony in your path, unbelievably.
But it was a terrible program. But it gave me time. I was there only 2 weeks. An ex-druggie, ex-occultist, ex-Jehovah's Witness, and they want me to lead the house in worship. Brian got so many calls from me. Hey, what about this dude? What's this say? You know, what's this mean? Well, what scripture says that, you know? Because I Matthew Henry's book, man, I tore that thing up, but it's hard to read that little tiny writing, but I was sitting there with a magnifying glass reading. It gave me time to start out and build a relationship with the Lord. And there were some things that were really tough on me, Bernie, accepting in here I knew that Jesus Christ was Lord and God. But up here it was really hard for me to reason that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it several years, bro. And I mean, I got told about steam and water and you know, and it's like, okay, whatever. You know, those are all cool things to as
illustrations,
analogies. You know, they're really cool. But it was only about 3 years ago I was reading John, and it was like, I got it now. You ain't gonna get me off of it. I got it. So, what was your next question, brother? I answered them all. Cool. Yeah. Oh, I attribute God.
Yeah, I think I'll say something real quick just to kind of summarize. I think help you out, Shane. There was no doubt Shane understands spiritual reality before he got saved. So it wasn't like he wasn't a spiritual man; he was a lost spiritual man. So when you're in that position and you run into light, you know you're in darkness. Is that a good way to summarize it?
Yeah, that's a really sweet way of putting it. Yeah, I was really into the occult. Really having somebody said something tonight about Ron and I was talking about stuff, and he says, "Well, you know, that holistic is not like voodoo and stuff." And I said, "Well, I have actually witnessed." A priest reach in and take an appendix out and there'd be no scar, you know? So I was pretty heavy into that kind of thing. And I have seen a lot of spirit. It's there, guys. It's for real. It's not something that is the Bible talks about and it's just talking about stuff. It's real. And but our God is greater. Amen. Our God is stronger.
Amen.
One thing I learned about the little G guy, the God of this system of things, is that he will entice you, lure you, promise you all kind of stuff, but he don't hang with you. He's not there solid. My God is there solid. He is there 24/7. He is there anytime I want to talk to him, anytime I want to cry on his shoulder, he's there for me. Anytime I get upset, man, I've got upset with him. You know, in relationships, it's not always smooth. You know, it's not always smooth. Lord, you should have moved on this a lot sooner than when I'm thinking you should have. You know, but it's his timing, and that's something we got to learn. Ron, you wanted to say something? Go ahead. Okay.
It's an important contrast between Jehovah's Witness God and our God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's so much their God against our God. It's just their belief, their belief pattern. I'm trying to think of the scripture, and I'm sorry, I'm pulling a blank. But it talks about what Ron is talking about is the Mennonites and the who's the guys that run in the carriages?
Elders.
The Amish. They call it shunning when someone has gone or stepped outside in sin from their belief. They shun them. Jehovah's Witnesses call it disfellowshipping, and if they see a mother with a baby trying to get her baby carriage, stroller, whatever, up the stairs, they will help her. It's not to that point. But if I always do the best at everything I do. I was disfellowshipped at an early age because I joined the U.S. Marine Corps. And many a sundry other things, and they all kind of piled up. And if I go to the Kingdom Hall over here, no one will speak to me. They won't greet me. They won't welcome me. They won't tell me whatever, goodbye, whatever.
Do they have a record?
Huh?
Would they have a record of you being disfellowshipped?
Oh, you're checked out immediately, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got the JW police going on you. Not really. I'm just a kid. But it's almost like that. You know, I had two come into my house, and I was just, man, I don't tell them I'm disfellowship because I want a chance to be able to witness to them before they find out, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't tell them. And the third time they came back, they said, oh, we can't come back anymore. And I said, body odor? What's the problem? And he said, well, no, you've been disfellowshipped. And I said, well, I was surprised if you found that out that you came back and told me you were coming back, you know?
Right.
I really was. It's my mother was dying from ALS 15 years ago. And I started going back to the Kingdom Hall to try to get reinstated, which is no big deal. You show up and be good and don't be doing anything you're not supposed to be doing for a couple months, and they'll let you back in. But to make her happy, I was trying to do, and I was so lost in the drug world that I couldn't even last out a few months. About 2 months in, I had to go get high. And But anyway, it was all for the wrong reason anyway, so it wouldn't work, you know. It wasn't going to work anyway. It was going to eventually mess up. Because there's no... it's hard to explain it, guys. There's no real relationship with your Lord and Savior. There's not I call it an intimate relationship. You know? That relationship needs to be closer than you and your wife are. Or your wife and your husband or your kids or it's an intimate, like I said earlier, where he knows what you're thinking, which he always does because he's God, but you need to know what he's thinking too. In every little thing you do in life, there's nothing you do in life that's not already listed in God's word. The answer is there. The answer is there. Any other questions real quick so Brian can at least have 5 minutes? I don't want to cut them out totally. Any other questions? Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. I hope that made some sense.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was kind of a different approach as you look at that. I want to just, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy or 2 John in the back, 2 John 2:11, because we do want to be careful. I want to make sure I kind of started off talking about being gentle and kind, and we should. And at the same time, I want to be careful not to mislead anybody. In 2 John 2:11, the Bible says, in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. I'm sorry. What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. 2 John, yeah, I had the two. 2 John, verse 11. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Actually, verse 10. we'll start in verse 9. It says, I'll back up, Brian. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, which isn't really eloquently what Shane was saying. God is not involved with the Jehovah Witnesses. They're not just like a error in doctrine. They are an absolute cult, and I don't mind saying that. There's nothing about it that's going to lead you to Christ. It's going to do everything to lead you away from Christ, and so that doesn't mean there's not great people, and a lot of really there's actually saved people that are Jehovah Witnesses. They actually prey on baby Christians, so there's a lot of young Christians that don't know the Bible, and they're in a situation where they're evangelized, someone leads them to Christ. And then the Jehovah Witnesses come along offering a Bible study program. Next thing you know, they're in your house. And I visited with these folks that are born again. And I'm listening to their testimony. And so one of the best ways to deal with any cult, by the way, is to share your testimony. It's worked with me with Islam in London. It's worked with me here with Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and Water Dogs, Doctrine, you know, even Church of Christ. So, I mean, bottom line is you cannot deny the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ is the only sufficiency for salvation. Now, there will be those that come and they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ. And verse 10 says, if there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And so we do need to be careful not to leave the impression that you're okay, I'm okay. And in our culture today, with, you know, like I was talking about with Saul at the beginning of Bible conference, right, with all the pragmatism, and it's just the culture, especially if you're a millennial and a Gen Xer. The older you get, the less prone to this that you are, but the younger generation especially, it's really the more you're okay, I'm okay, the better. That's taught in our schools, you know, it's just drilled in your head, and if you don't take that approach, I see Elizabeth coming up with it all the time. I'm like, no, El, there is right and wrong. There is good and bad. There is parameters. And so, so you do need to know, and this I'm just saying this because I'm going to be the most gracious engager with any cult person because they're just people. And they either, most of the time, they're very sincere people. And I respect that about them. That's kind of where I meet them mutually, is I respect that your sincerity. And then I find that you respect mine. And if they respect my sincerity, I'll respect their sincerity, and then we can get to the issue of driving into who has the truth and who doesn't. And you can even cut down to the chase, which, especially if you know each other's arguments. This just happened on my front porch, you know, a couple, 2-3 years ago with the Mormon on my front porch from Salt Lake. And and so just real graciously, I'm like, hey, I appreciate what you're doing and all the commitments and sacrifices. I need you to understand this. This is what I believe about the Bible, and this is what the Bible says, and this is what I've trusted in. All right. And he's doing the whole, you know, I'm going to agree with you long enough to try to witness to you. So then I did stop him because I don't have time for all that. I said, listen, your church believes and teaches this about Satan, about Lucifer. Your church believes this. Is that not accurate? He's like, that's accurate. I said, okay, do you believe that? Well, yes, I believe that. Okay, well, that's actually not biblical. My Bible teaches this. And so we're not going to agree on that, right? Are we or aren't we? We're not. Okay, so this is how it's going to go down. And this is literally about as long as the discussion lasted. One of us is right, one of us is wrong. And we'll both, one of us will spend eternity in hell if we don't reckon with what the Bible really says about this. And do you want to, and then I just turned the whole thing around on him. Do you really want to discuss this in the Bible with me? Because I will take as much time as you want, and we can look at this subject. He's like, no, I don't. I said, okay. I'm sorry for you, and I really am now more concerned than I was before you came to my door. By the way, a Mormon has not been to my house since. and that's, I'm not saying that because I'm happy about it. I wasn't trying to run them off. So I'm not telling you to be a pushover is what I'm saying. You got to love those folks enough. And this guy was really, the reason I took that tack with him, he was the lead, and he was sharp as a tack. I knew he knew his stuff. So that's why I went ahead and cut to the chase, because we'd have wasted each other's time. Yeah, John? Right. But the nice thing to do is leave them some, I like, especially with Mormons, I like to leave them with my testimony. I like to leave them with my testimony because, that's getting back to my point, because your testimony is undeniable, especially with Mormons. They cannot, by the way, I bought some Book of Mormons. I'll just pass these out in the time that we have. If you want to look at some, this is a Mormon from Utah, Book of Mormon version. And I've got some leaflets, if you can leave those in there. Just pass those around if you want to look at them. Then I got the Doctrine of the Covenants, the book of, and the RLDS version of the Books of Mormon. And I don't need this tonight. We'll bring this out another time. I got the Dewey Reams. He's talking about the Dewey. This is a Dewey Reams Catholic perversion. But anyway, my point being is that when you share your testimony, you know, they may have a Book of Mormon, and they say this is the Bible. That's where Shane's really right. If you can get them to say, well, yeah, because the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, they all say, they used to use King James Bibles. And, of course, the Mormons will still use King James Bible. And so when you can prove salvation from this Bible, they can't take it from you. And with Jehovah Witnesses, I've had this discussion on numerous occasions. Because they can't, they have absolutely no assurance of salvation from the Scripture. It's all works-based, just like a Roman Catholic or any other. But really, there's only two. There's only the truth, and then there's error. And this is grace through faith, and the other is all works. I mean, that's really the two. That's all you got to know. And if we boil all this down in the simplest form. But the reality is when you share your testimony, especially with a Jehovah Witness in my experience, it really befuddles them because they don't know what to do with that. And I ask them, so am I not saved? This is usually, I kind of play a little innocent, and they're probably listening. I have a kind of a weird relationship with the JWs, don't I, Jamie? So anyway, if any of you are listening out there. And so you know, I'll just tell them my testimony, and it's like, so am I not saved? Am I not saved? Same thing with a Mormon. Show me in the Bible, since you both say you believe the Bible, especially like Shane says, in your Bible, show me in my Bible why I am not biblically born again. And then tell me, especially the Mormon, why is it then that I should even go to you? Why should I believe one thing that Joseph Smith said, that the church is dead, that there's no truth, that there need to be a New Testament, another Testament. Why should I believe any of that when it is this old Bible that existed before Joseph Smith that I found the gospel in and saves me and all my promises are secure, and you guys say it's consistent with yours? And there's not one of them who give you an answer. Because, at least that I've found, and I've talked to a lot of them, both LDS and RLDS really don't have a leg to stand on, but the LDS, they'll at least try to put up a fight. And you guys, I mean, really, the thing is not really proven that you're saved. It's the reality that when they see somebody that is absolutely confident in what the Word of God says, my hope is it shakes, especially the baby one that's with them. Oftentimes there's a person that may be a baby Christian, especially with Jehovah's Witnesses, or someone who's lost that needs to hear the gospel. So as you're sharing your testimony, maybe for the first time, they're actually hearing the true gospel. And I share my experience. He took me in Romans 3:23, and he showed me that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then he flipped over to Romans 5:12, and he showed me how it was in Adam, you know, and the wages of sin is death, and just walk them right through the Romans road as you're telling your testimony. And this has happened. You can see that they're on the edge of their seat. They're wanting to see how this ends. And man, you tell them the gospel. And you'll be amazed how quick they usher them away from you and never bring them back. But give them every opportunity to hear the gospel. Doesn't mean they'll get saved. But I've wrangled with quite a few of them. And, Amy, when I was in high school, Amy bailed me out. I got wrangled up with one of them, and we went to the library to have a showdown. And he's now an elder or whatever they are, and I'm a pastor. So that was in high school after I got saved. And I approached it totally the opposite of what I introduced tonight. I was full of knowledge. I read all my information. I came in there thinking I knew everything. And when I left that, I thought I'd lost my salvation almost. I didn't let him know that. But I was so impressed with how someone could know so much about the Bible and really not be saved. And if that's the case, how could I be right? How could I be sure I'm right? And so as we talk about these things, it gets me back full circle to the reason we're having this study is drive you back to the Word of God. You need to know in your own Bible what the Word of God says. You need to know the Word of God, because at the end of the day, when the devil comes knocking, and that's really who's coming knocking, because Ephesians 6 is clear, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So don't kid yourself. There's demonic forces behind some of these conversations, and the devil wants to take you off track. In my particular case, it was really awesome because God used that to really help nail down some key doctrine in my life that I didn't really realize. See, I was one of those guys, I believed I was saved, kind of like Shane's talking about. You don't have to be a Jehovah's Witness and indoctrinated with a false Bible. You can just have a false assurance in what the preacher says, right? And then when you get in a wrangle, in a real wrestling match with the devil, you know, then God drives you back to the Scripture. I went back to church and I asked the preacher, and you know what they told me? Well, you're saved. Well, that didn't help me. I don't need his assurance. What I needed, it was in my heart, and it drove me back to the book, drove me back into the Scripture, to verses I had already memorized, stuff I already knew. And once I got back in the book and the whole, just like Shane going, I remember talking with Shane and having discussions about the Godhead. And I'm like, Shane, you got to get in the book of John. We can talk about it all day long. It's the book of John that's going to, and sure enough, it's the book of John that convinced him. It's the book of John that's going to convince you, because Jesus is telling you who he's God, just like he did the Pharisees. That's why they were mad. By the way, in the New World Translation, they took that verse out. He referenced it earlier Matthew chapter 10, I believe, where he says that they accused Jesus of being God. And John, the book of John, they were upset with him because he said he was God. In the New World Translation, it's a small g. In a King James Bible, it's going to be capital G. So it's amazing what your relationship with the Word of God will do. I cannot stress enough. I have stuff I was going to get into. When we get back together, I'm not going to do it tonight, but when we get back together, we're going to pick up in our study, and we're going to be talking about, I'm going to finish up my discussion of creation, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit more in depth about what the Bible says about that, and that's really going to help you with humanism, evolution, and science today. Which is in itself a religion. And if you don't doubt me, you can go to the United Nations, the religious wing of the United Nations, is headed by a man or by a group affectionately called the Moonies, who was headed by Reverend Sun Yun Moon, who thought he was the Messiah. And he died just a few years ago. His son is now in charge, and the thing is still going on. And most people, even among Christians, don't have a clue that the UN has a religious arm. And it's completely congruent with environmentalism, which is completely congruent with worshiping the earth. And it is completely congruent with where the Antichrist is taking the world government eventually. And so all of those things, they're there. You don't even have to. I've talked to school boards about it. I've talked to school administrators about it when they're asking me, where do you get this information? Here's this link to the United Nations site. This is where this curriculum's coming from. This is why it's coming from there, and this is where it's all going. That in itself, worshiping the earth, the creation, is in itself occultic. And that's where pagan worship, going back to paganism. And so all of those types of things, we'll get into that as we finish up on creation. And then I want to jump into the Trinity, or the biblical word would be Godhead. And we'll talk about that. When we do that, we'll get back to the Jehovah Witnesses a little bit more. And all the most false religions attack the deity of Christ in one way or another. And so, because if Jesus is God, you got problems. Because you got to bow to him. And if you don't, of course, there's consequences. So we'll get into that next week. I'm thinking in 2 weeks I won't be here. So next week we'll get into that. All right? So this was a little different tonight, so thank you for your patience, and appreciate you guys coming out. And was this good? Amen. And hopefully we might even pull in someone from Islam before this is over, too. I'd like you to hear a little bit from that, if I can get a key person here. And some of you have heard him before, but we'll see how that goes. Anyway, I'm not going to say his name because he's on a hit list. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And